Welcome back to DC Talk. This is episode number 159 here on July 18, 2021. I am so glad to be back with you all this time. We did not have an episode last week. I went on vacation, and typically when I edit the files, the episodes, I have my laptop with me, but I was mandated that I am not allowed to bring my laptop on vacation.
Because it actually worked out, Mike, because we had almost no news
last week.
But now we have a crap ton of news.
Yes, but typically I tend to do work, so that's why I was told not to bring it. So I told Carrie, I said, I don't have my laptop. It's going to have to come out next week. She said, hey, let's just...
There were four news items last week. Now there are a lot more than four news items.
So we
could afford to skip. And it's not like we're trying to keep up with Guardians of the MCU anymore anyway.
They're doing two
episodes a week, and we're still doing one episode a week.
Oh yeah, we are way behind catching
We're not that crazy.
No.
That committed to keeping our shows.
Carrie's not that crazy. They have to do another episode weekly with me. One of the two. Don't know which one it is.
I wasn't gonna say it.
She was thinking it. Oh.
You don't know what I was thinking. But now that you mention it.
That's funny. Oh. All right. But listen, I am so glad to be back on DC Talk. My last month has been absolutely crazy, as you've seen me hit and miss on Discord as well as on the podcast. Thank you, Carrie, for covering all those weeks for me. And I am so glad to be back now for at least a couple more months. And then another life-changing event happens, and we'll get into more of that as that day gets closer. So with that being said, let's go ahead then and dig into some Flash news. First up, Robin Givens was cast in Batwoman in season 3. She has been officially casted in the role of she is a Riverdale alum, by the way. And I can't remember exactly where she played, but she's playing the role of Jada Jett.
Now this is going to seriously date me, but I know that Robin Givens is an actress, but the only thing I really know her from is that she was married to Mike Tyson back in the 80s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's dating. I'm going to say it. Okay.
Yeah.
So we don't know what... We know she's going to be playing Jada Jett. Don't know much else about that. So we have another cast for Batwoman Season 3. And our next bit news, I did not watch this scene.
Neither did I, because I haven't watched Long Halloween Part 2 yet.
I haven't even watched the first Long Halloween Part 1 because I'm waiting until we get to it here on DC Talk before I watch it. But apparently in a scene that was released in a preview scene, Falcone reunites with his daughter in the Part 2 of Long Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Some more Batman news. In the movie itself, Colin Farrell says he will appear in a few scenes as Penguin.
But not many.
Batman movie.
He says he's not going to be in many scenes. And I know there has been some concern that there's going to be a lot of villains in the Batman, but if the Penguin is taking more of, say, like one of the Kingpin type roles, like one of the crime boss type roles, I think it makes sense for them to use him sparingly.
Yes, I agree. And I think it's good because I really don't want a full-fledged rogues gallery of villains in this movie. If this is supposed to be the origin, I don't want us to throw everything in it at once.
Right.
So we do know he's going to be in some. I'm going to skip the next one because I'm going to come back to that one here in a second. But we did get some Titans Season 3 photos that were dropped.
Yep. They did drop a picture of the guy playing Tim Drake later. And he's not in the article here. We forgot about Tim.
Carrie's like, my favorite Tim.
My favorite Robin almost got forgotten.
Yes, but you know what didn't forget? Titan Season 3 trailer, when it dropped, that mess was straight, lit, and epic, and whatever the young kids are saying these days.
Oh, yes. I am so excited.
I cannot wait. It's coming in like less than a month.
Yep.
I'm so excited about this.
It can't be here soon enough.
We have it's oh my god, I'm so excited, guys. The trailer, I encourage you to go out there and check it on YouTube. Probably not suitable for work. But we get a little bit more in depth of the I can't remember his name now. The other
Jason
Robin.
Jason Todd. Yes. Jason Your favorite Todd. Robin.
Yes, my favorite Robin. The Jason Todd inside of the carnival beating somebody. Again, I still think that's a dream
sequence. Or getting beaten by.
Yes. I still think that's a dream sequence, though. I'm still holding my guns to it. So there's that. So check all those out, the photos and the trailer. Let's see. I will go ahead and say this, but Marvel Studios and DC Films is officially skipping San Diego Comic-Con.
With a caveat. Okay. There is actually going to be a Lucifer panel at Comic-Con at home, but that's being put on by Netflix, so loophole.
Right. But this is not actually surprising.
No, it's not.
I think the DC Con that they had last year worked
out.
Which
they're having again this year.
Right, they're having again this year. Worked out very well for them. And I think, and I know this is something that we kind of don't talk about much, because usually Marvel has a good heads up on some things over DC, especially lately. But I think Marvel looked at it and was like, huh, that worked well. Let's do that next year, too. Mm-hmm. So this is exciting. I do hate it for San Diego Comic-Con. Hopefully there can be some kind of back intermingle again. But I kind of see this happening more and more. I think Star Wars and Disney will eventually pull out. Of course, they have the D23. But I think you're going to start having at-home exclusive cons more.
Well, I think this could be helpful, because I think it gives other studios – you know, room to breathe and be more out there and not have to be squashed under the weight of Marvel and, well, to a lesser extent, DC. I mean, those are the two big heavyweights right. As far as comic book movies, but Disney leaves a pretty big footprint. DC leaves its own big footprint, and this is going to give, you know, maybe eventually other properties the ability to, you know, take over Hall H or however they're going to do things, you know, when we can have, you know, in-person large, extra large gatherings again.
Yeah. And kind of like you said, to kind of bounce off that, it's going to give more independent properties that don't have a lot of room in these places more chance to actually show forth and gain more interest.
Exactly. So
that's good. Kind of moving on to some more stuff, Suicide Squad related-ish. John Cena and James Gunn have offered a new description of what the HBO's Peacemaker show is going to be about. And it says, this guy is loud, obnoxious. Let's see.
Throwy douchebag.
I'm trying to think of that sucks. Why? At what point did he become such a douchebag? What does that mean? There's a lot to dive into. So that's kind of more of a description of what it's going to be. Kind of his, how did he come about?
Yeah. Speaking of Peacemaker, there was a is it in here? Maybe I skipped it. Apparently, there was a something released that. James Gunn, oh yeah, it's down here. James Gunn actually wanted Dave Bautista to play Peacemaker. And for as much as I don't get the John Cena hate, I do. John Cena seems to fit the douchey, bro-y, obnoxious guy better than Dave Bautista does.
Oh, yeah, 100%. His character, when he was first introduced in WWE, I remember when he first started back in early 2000s, was more along those lines. And yeah. And he it fits him a whole lot better. So there is that. By the way, speaking of Suicide Squad itself, don't forget it comes out August 6th, everybody. So it's only a few weeks away. Keep that in mind as well. Speaking of Suicide Squad, there's a lot. We do know that she just mentioned as well, Carrie mentioned that James Gunn did want Dave Bautista as Peacemaker. Obviously, I don't think it would have worked as well.
Yeah, me either.
King Shark did a promo for Shark Week.
Because of course he did. Because
of course he did. So check out that promo for Shark Week as well. And kind of one of the sadder notes, but also an understandable note, is Margot Robbie says that she needs a break from Harley Quinn.
Well, I mean, it's hard to play that kind of crazy for too long.
Yes.
So yeah, I understand that she needs a break, but she also says how much she loves the character, so that it's going to be, you know, when she decides she's ready to do it again, because I know she's also pulled hard for them to do something where she's in a relationship with Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
And get that on the big screen in live action. So
there is talk. I think I heard a rumbling of an Ivy-ish appearance in the Suicide Squad.
Huh. That would be cool.
Not like a full on Ivy, but a kind of
an allusion.
An allusion to it. Yes.
Nice.
So, but we did get an in on the action featurette for the Suicide Squad, which I watched. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah. That was interesting, and it gave us some more information on some of the lesser known characters.
Yes.
That are going to show up. Plus, I loved Joel Kinnaman's description of King Shark. You know, sweet guy, stupid, sweet That's guy.
Sweet. Yeah.
But sweet.
By the way, I will say, I didn't put this in the notes, but I saw the first reactions to this movie.
I saw some of those too, out. Yeah.
And all of them are glowing. Even one of them says, they said you are going to fall in love with a character you probably won't think you're going to fall in love with. And everybody has come out falling in love with a different character on the set.
Wow.
So I'm pretty interested in that one. I also heard that Ratcatcher 2 is pretty amazing in a movie.
Nice.
So, but as far as Harley Quinn goes, Warner Brothers did ask James Gunn to include her in that movie.
Now he did say that they asked him to do so. He didn't have to.
Right. They
asked him, but it said it wasn't mandatory. And where is it in the? So he wanted it to be its own thing. So he watched the first movie, called them back, and say, "What do I have to keep from this?" And they said nothing. And they said, basically, listen, we would love it if Margot was in it, but she doesn't have to be.
Right.
But apparently Harley Quinn is one of James, is a character James Gunn loved to write for anyway, so it works. Hopefully that works out. And, I mean, I like it so much so far. I like what they've seen of her so far.
Right. And according to the featurette, one reason he wanted to include her as well was because he wanted to bring the comic version of Harley into the big screen and make her this real deep character.
Yeah.
And so I appreciated that. So another kind of a Marvel movie, or not Marvel, but a DC movie we have come up is Black Adam.
Oh, it's kind of sort of Marvel-esque, but Marvel in the DC Marvel family. Right. Family of characters.
But he did show off his Black Adam costume. And that was pretty cool.
It does look cool. I will echo, I think it was Rusty who is concerned that he doesn't have pointed ears. I mean that's not a complete deal breaker for me if the movie is good, but Black Adam does have pointed ears. Because he's not
human. Or maybe we just don't have them yet.
Maybe we just don't have them yet.
Maybe they'll be added in post.
Maybe.
Which brings me to my next point.
Maybe he didn't want prosthetics.
That's true. Dwayne Johnson did announce the end of the filming for Black Adam. It has finished filming. So now comes the post-production work.
Yep.
So this is great. Now, this last bit of news, Carrie, I'm not 100% sure on everything on it. So... I'm going to kind of let you take it because I think you know more about it than I would.
Basically, this has been something that's been brewing for a while. Like, comic creators have been more public about the residuals that they've been making for the comic book movies that use characters that they've created. And apparently DC is better at paying the creators than... than Marvel is. But they're getting better, not a whole lot. So from this article, it's in the Hollywood Reporter. In May, Ta-Nehisi Coates, whose run on Black Panther, helped the $1.2 billion grossing Chadwick Boseman film get greenlit, backed Brubaker, who is basically, this was Ed Brubaker, who was the creator of the Winter Soldier character.
Okay.
And he got no credit for anything. I think they finally gave him credit in like the last episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, that's sad.
In the credits. But Ta-Nehisi Coates, who helped write the run on Black Panther that inspired the movie, he backed Ed Brubaker up and basically saying, "I wish that Marvel found better ways to compensate creators who helped make Black Panther Black Panther." Because okay. This is not new. I mean, Jerry Siegel and Joel Schuster basically signed away their the rights to Superman for like $130, and I don't think they ever got residuals for all the movies and television shows that they helped. That birthed later off of their character. One I found was interesting, and this is an example of DC doing better than Marvel is. Where is it? Sorry, this is really... Oh, Len Wein, who helped create... Wolverine and also created Lucius Fox for Batman, basically got more off of the Crystal and Dark Knight trilogy than he got for the 9 movies that Hugh Jackman was in.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So he got more off of a relatively minor-ish character in DC than he did for like one of the more famous X-Men ever. So yeah, and this is Todd McFarlane, who created Spawn. When he created Image, he basically, and this is something that has to change in the industry in general as more comic book characters get translated into the big and small screens, is the issue of how do you credit the people who created these characters and how do you compensate them for having created these characters? And right. The longevity that these characters have in film and television beyond what you see in the comic books. Tom McFarlane co-created Venom.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get much.
And he should get he should get more residual.
I think they said he does get something for the original Venom movie, but it basically says you're paying original creators crumbs. The first person who says we're going to pay 3 crumbs is going to look like a total genius and have a flood of talent coming in your direction. And he's kind of doing this with Blumhouse now, is that he's putting it into the contract that will address the comic creators in a more significant way when they're doing the Spawn universe that he's trying to create through Blumhouse.
Yeah, I saw. I saw on HBO Max Spawn animated series.
That one was really, that was interesting.
Yeah, I saw that one the other day.
Yeah,
I didn't watch it. I just saw it was on there.
It was an interesting series.
So the key thing from this article we're learning is pay your people.
Yeah, pay your people.
Pay your people.
And I think that, you know, this has been coming out a lot more, like I said, you know, the creators, the people who are, we're starting to see spotlights on, you know, the people who had hands in creating these characters. I mean, the whole thing with the man who created Wonder Woman, that wasn't a known thing for a while. And I think there was a few months ago, there was someone who was like the first female comic book writer ever was writing on Wonder Woman, but she was writing under a pen name, so she didn't actually get credit until like 2016 or something. So that, wow. Things are getting better. That is partly due to the internet and social media, but also it's because people are becoming more public about, you know, how little these big studios and these big movies that are making a crap ton of money are paying the people who are responsible for the characters that they're using.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there needs to be some kind of acknowledgement.
Yeah. I mean, just take Black Panther, for example. If Black Panther is making, you know, billions of dollars at the box office, they can at least pay the creators of the writers of the creators of the storylines that they drew from a share of that, a decent share rather than just, you know, pennies.
Pennies, yeah. I agree. All right, well, that is all of our news. So, Carrie, who is our Gideon's character profile this week?
Okay, well, this is going to be short, and this actually kind of works out because I threw a bit of a mini profile in for Gods of Monsters as well. With Suicide Squad coming in less than a month, I decided to spotlight Robert Dubois, aka Bloodsport. And there, a note on this: there have been three Bloodsports in DC Comics: Robert Dubois, Alexander Trent, and an unknown character who's pretty much just referred to as Bloodsport 3. But for the purposes of this archive, we're talking about the original Bloodsport, who was Robert Dubois.
Movie. I saw that movie.
No, we're not talking about the Jean-Claude Van Damme movies at all. All right. So, Robert Dubois first appeared in Superman Volume 2, Number 4. This is from April 1987. He is created by John Byrne and Carl Kessel. Robert Dubois fled to Canada to avoid being drafted into going to Vietnam. Okay. He later had a mental breakdown after learning that his brother Michael was drafted in his place. Michael lost both of his arms and legs in Vietnam. Robert went insane from the guilt. And hilarity ensues from there. Robert Dubois was eventually contacted by individuals hiring pawns to assassinate Superman on behalf of Lex Luthor. Lex's operative, a guy named Kimberly, not to be confused with a boy named Sue, played on Robert's fixations about Vietnam to condition him to want to kill Superman. Robert is equipped with advanced weaponry, including a gun that shoots kryptonite needles and a teleportation device that brings weapons instantly to him. Calling himself Bloodsport, he goes to Metropolis and proceeds to do things that outrage even Lex Luthor.
Oof. Yeah. That takes a lot to do.
Yeah. He now claiming that both he and his brother were in Vietnam and that they both were injured, he starts a killing spree in Metropolis, raging that Metropolis has been wasting the freedom he and his brother sought to defend.
Hmm.
This eventually catches the attention of Superman. They fight. Superman is weakened by one of those kryptonite needles and is forced to seek medical attention. Superman gets better. They go back to fighting. Superman causes Bloodsport's teleportation device to malfunction. Not to be deterred, Bloodsport threatens to detonate the device and kill everyone in a 10-mile radius.
Yeah, as one would.
As one does. Jimmy Olsen, however, manages to locate Michael Dubois, gets Michael to confront Robert about what really happened. You know, that you know, Robert Dubois did not go to Vietnam, for, among other things. Robert Dubois collapses into grief and is taken into custody. Robert Dubois later has a brief encounter with Deadshot, which is eventually broken up by Superman and Batman.
Like to see that one.
Yeah. In the 2003 JLA Avengers comic, he is one of the villains that ambushes Vision and Aquaman. He later fights Iron Man, but is restrained by Hal Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
He's imprisoned on Strikers Island for several years until Alexander Trent, also referring to himself as Bloodsport, decides to make the presence of two Bloodsports an issue. In order to alleviate racial tensions, Robert Dubois is a black man and Alexander Trent is a white supremacist. The prison warden, in his infinite wisdom, decides to hold a boxing match.
This is the stupidest thing ever.
With Superman as the referee.
Even stupider.
During the fight, a riot breaks out. Dubois gets a hold of one of Trent's weapons, blows a hole in the prison wall, and tries to escape. But he's shot dead.
Oh my goodness.
And there's no word about whether or not he gets resurrected in any of the later storylines.
Oh my goodness. That was the stupidest thing I ever heard about a character profile.
Yeah. Like I said, this is pretty short.
Yeah.
Powers, weapons. He has no superhuman abilities. However, he is formidable at hand-to-hand combat due to his excellent physical condition. He has the aforementioned device that allows him to instantly teleport high-tech weaponry to him from any distance. He is incredibly strong and more durable than the average human, has extraordinarily keen reflexes and senses. He is a quick, accurate, and ambidextrous marksman. Wow. He also appears to have insane levels of manic strength and intensity. In other words, he can hold his own against Superman and Deadshot.
That is awesome.
Yeah, in you know, contests of skills and fighting capabilities. Weaknesses. Even though he has no first-hand war experience, he has developed an increasingly delusional and disassociated personal fiction about having fought in Vietnam.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Notable groups, the Suicide Squad. And this is from the Justice League Unlimited series. He's one of the characters in Gorilla Grodd's Secret Society. There aren't a whole lot of notable DC comic storylines with him in it. Appearances in media. The Robert Dubois version of Bloodsport has appeared in two episodes of Justice League Unlimited. He appeared in the Supergirl episode Girl of Steel, hired by the real Morgan Edge. Not the other Morgan Edge that turns out to be Superman's brother.
Spoiler.
Hey, it's been a couple of weeks. he was played by David St. Louis in Supergirl. In what I find very, very amusing, and the inspiration for this, he was kind of, sort of, in Justice League versus the Fatal Five as voiced by Tom Kenny. This one is more of an amalgam. The version in the movie is referred to as Alexander Trent, but resembles Robert Dubois, insert irony here, since, again, Alexander Trent is a white supremacist. and he's just a deranged conspiracy theorist in Justice League versus the Fatal Five. Obviously not a white supremacist, because he's not white in that movie. And then he'll be played by Idris Elba in the upcoming Suicide Squad movie. And that's it. Yeah.
That was not too terrible.
Not too terrible.
Yeah. Not at all. No. All right. Well, thank you for Bloodsport. I have no idea who I'm going to do next week. I probably will find out eventually this week. Sometime I'll think of somebody.
Yeah.
So, all right, but into the Watchtower. We are still currently going through our animated movies for DC, and we are coming close to the end of the list. We only got a few more, not a few more weeks, but left, but we don't have very many left on this list after tonight.
Yeah.
We have only actually got six right now on this list after
tonight. Does that include Long Halloween?
It does include Long Halloween Part 1. So okay. We only have six.
Nice.
So we're only about 6 more weeks of this, and then Carrie finally we're done with this mess.
I would never say that.
I know. I like these movies. I like the animated movies. That's why I wanted to do them. So, and actually, after we get through next week's episode, I have not seen the following four movies.
Yeah, me neither.
Or five movies. So I've not seen Man of Tomorrow. I've not seen Death in a Family.
I've seen Death in the Family. I've seen Man of Tomorrow.
See, I haven't seen those yet. I had not seen Soul of the Dragon, nor have I seen Justice
Society
2, nor have I seen Long Halloween Part 1. Because I specifically held off until we were done with these.
Nice.
So, I'm pretty excited about digging into those. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. Tonight, we're talking about Justice League Gods and Monsters. In an alternate universe, very different versions of DC's Trinity, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, who operate outside of the law, are framed for the murders of prominent scientists, and the government decides it's time to take them out.
By the way, Long Halloween Part 2 releases at the end of the month, so by the time we're done with the current list, we'll have one more to add to it.
Well, I'm adding it right now. What did you think about this movie?
I found it interesting. I was half expecting it. I was convinced it was either Waller or Apocalypse or New Genesis behind the frame-up. I was not expecting it to be just a normal human.
Okay. I kept waiting for somebody else to pop out. I kept waiting for Becca's husband to somehow show back up.
Except that he got killed.
Right. As far as we know, but nobody ever stays dead. In the universe.
That's true. So I'm skipping to this note in my notes here, because Wonder Woman's a new god, which I found interesting, and the mini character archive that I hinted at before, Becca is the daughter of Himon, who is the son of High Father of New Genesis. She's co-creator of Boom Tubes, married to Orion, who's the son of Darkseid, and is supposedly killed by Himon, but was actually killed by Infinity Man during the Death of the New God storyline, but like many characters, got better with the New 52
so,
and Rebirth stuff.
So I tried to look this up. Was she actually a new god?
Yeah, because she's from New Genesis.
So it's not Wonder Woman that's a new god, but Becca is.
Well, but she is one for the all intents and purposes for this movie, universe. She is Wonder Woman.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, because I was just kind of, I just thought about it. As I was watching this movie, I realized I've seen this movie. I didn't think I had. I didn't remember anything about it. but I was like, huh, okay. I've seen this movie. Like, I know I have. The whole storyline with the Man Bat and everything. I'm like, I've seen this somehow. And I just don't remember when and where.
Yeah, I've never seen this movie. I did find it kind of funny that Batman is an actual vampire.
That was so funny to me. But that, you know, yeah. What though, and I'm put in here in the notes that this actually shows a lot of the Batman mythos that's put out in other media. We watched a movie. Oh, which one was it? Was it The Dark Knight Returns? Where the kids were given their descriptions of the Batman.
Oh, that was Batman Year One.
Okay, Batman Year One, and the kids were given their descriptions, and one of them saw him as a vampire?
Yeah.
So that's kind of kind of some other media there. I thought it was pretty cool.
Not year one. Year one, I think.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Gotham Knight. It was Gotham Knight that was.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting way for Zod to be rapey without actually committing rape.
Yeah, that was a little creepy.
And also interesting that Superman is taken in by an undocumented couple with all the discrimination that entails and still comes out favoring Zod's method of keeping the peace, which is an interesting way of looking at the whole nature versus nurture concept.
Yeah, but he also is told in his meeting with Luther that, I believe it was Luther at the end of the movie, right before Luther's ship got blown up in space, that he was raised by immigrants, and therefore he understands that negative side of the world, and that's what kind of makes him into the machine he is today, is that he's seen the dark side, in a way, of humanity.
Right. Not encouraging that it looks like, speaking of Lex Luthor, not encouraging that it looks like Superman is flying into the business end of a cannon when he goes to see Lex.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting that thing to open fire on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this movie had a good commentary on just who the monsters are in this version of the DCU.
Yeah. I think there's quite a few monsters in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, this Justice League is definitely not the, you know, do less harm, do no harm if you possibly can type people.
Yeah, here's how I relate this movie. I have not seen the new Suicide Squad, but this movie felt like the animated version of the new Suicide Squad movie. They were not afraid to use some language, throw some innuindos out there.
Not afraid to kill people. No.
Not afraid to kill people. Very Suicide Squad-ish.
Yeah, and I think the most frightening thing about this movie is that Waller was president.
That is the scariest thing. Yes, that's pretty scary about this movie.
And this is a comic book universe that has seen Lex Luthor be president. The idea that Waller is scarier as president than Lex Luthor is saying something.
And that Luthor is actually helping.
Helping. Did you see Contact?
I did not.
Okay. So for anyone who has seen Contact, Lex Luthor kind of had some shades of John Hurt's character from Contact, which is that, as in, he decides to, you know, leave Earth. Hold on.
That's right. So he decided to. No, I have never seen Contact. Maybe one day.
Yeah, maybe.
So. And well, Carrie, is there anything else about this movie?
No, I don't think so.
All right. So next week, we are going to be discussing the movie Gotham by Gaslight. Came out in 2018. This is the last animated movie before we have the new set of, like, Superman, Man of Tomorrow. That doesn't mean nothing has came out since between Gotham by Gaslight and there. It's just that after Gotham by Gaslight, we still had the Apocalypse War movie and that kind of
thing. Which we already talked about.
Right, because we did the DC AMU already. So this is just the extra animated movies that have nothing to do with that timeline.
Yep.
And so this one coming up is the last one in this series before we move into the New Age movies that are out now.
Yep.
So I'm pretty excited about that. Gotham by Gaslight. I want to watch it again. I don't think I really 100% enjoyed it last time. I don't know why.
I loved that movie, but I am a bit of a Jack the Ripper nerd.
Okay.
And I love accidentally discovering new Jack the Ripper stories that. And this is definitely a Jack the Ripper take I had not expected to see.
Yeah. And for those who are wondering, hey, why are we not watching Batman Ninja? Because Batman Ninja is on our Caped Chronicles list. That's why we're not watching Batman Ninja. So you should go watch Caped Chronicles or listen to Caped Chronicles.
We will get to Batman Ninja eventually. I don't know that we'll get to it anytime soon.
In about 4 years, we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. So
maybe we should put it on our list.
Ooh, we should. I thought we may have watched it before. I don't remember.
No, we haven't watched it. I know we've talked about it a couple of times.
I like Batman Ninja. I liked it.
Every anime trope ever
possible is in that movie.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. So, but yeah, guys, that is that's Batman's Gods and Monsters. So next week, Gotham by Gaslight. We'll have Gaslight. We'll have a new y'all, it's late here.
Yeah.
We'll have a new character profile and some more news for DC for the DC universe. So, with all that being said, we are DC Talk. We are part of the Random Chatter Network. Go to randomchatter.com to check out all of our other podcasts that we have. You know where me and Carrie at. We're in Discord. We're on Twitter. Check us out. Find us. And we look forward to seeing you around there. So if nothing else, Carrie, you good to go?
Yeah, I'm good to go.
All right. Have a good night, everybody. And take care. We'll see you next week.
Bye.